we continue to rejoice in the wonders of such grace that God has given unto us. I want to turn this morning to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. And let us begin reading with verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. He said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry not up us hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And we will bring forth yet another message on responding to divine grace. And this one is the grace of separation. Or as we might, another word for that, be sanctification. But as we find here in verse 16, is when Moses says, Wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And so the grace of God is found in separation, as we are going to see here presently. I want to notice a little bit about the context wherein these words are written. Moses has already spent 40 days and 40 nights in the top of Mount Sinai getting the law. At the end of that time, he came down from the mountain and found out that Israel had already broken the law that God had given by bowing down and worshiping the golden calf. God threatened to destroy that nation and to make a nation of Moses. It is here that Moses began to intercede before the Lord, and that's what we find in these verses. If you'll back up to verse 9, you'll find it came to pass that Moses entered into the tabernacle. The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. This tabernacle is not the tabernacle proper of which we read in the wilderness. This is just a temporary place of prayer that Moses set up, and he would go in there and invited others to go there. And so we find here that the Lord has come down, and he is indeed speaking with Moses. The major point we need to understand here is that the events of this chapter come to pass before Moses goes back up into the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights. And so we begin here in verse 16 as we read that wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. God has repeated this a number of times in this passage. If you read down again through these verses. And now then Moses wants to know, well, you say that, but how am I to know that the grace of God, that we have received grace in the sight of the Lord? I want to notice that Moses is a man who has come to trust in the grace of God. If you read down through again these verses from 12 to 19, you will find that the words grace, or gracious, or mercy, are mentioned 9 times. Moses, the lawgiver, was a man that really did have to depend upon and trust the marvels and the wonders and the power of divine grace. As I thought on that, there is such a similarity between Moses and Paul. Both Moses and Paul were guilty of murder. Both of them were leaders in Israel. Both of them suffered tremendous opposition from their followers. Both of them were entrenched in the law. Both of them were rather self-willed. Both of them experienced supernatural experience with the Lord prior to their ministry. The Lord met Moses, you remember, in the burning bush, and then had such a hard time convincing him to lead his people out of Egypt. Paul met him on the road to Damascus, where the Lord knocked him down and blinded him for a little while. And so I want to notice here that both of them gained a deep first-hand information and knowledge of divine grace. And so as we pursue this, we see that Moses once again is asking God, and how am I going to know that we have received grace in thy sight? And then he answers his own question. This is what he wants to see. This is what he wants to be assured of. Notice verse 16. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people of the earth? There are two things that he brings out here, and both of them are a part of the pattern of separation set out by the Scripture. You will notice there is a pattern that God has throughout the Word of God, and that is a pattern of separation out of and into, or delivered from and delivered to. Israel themselves is a wonderful example. God brought them out of Egypt, but he didn't leave them in limbo. He intended them to go into the land of Canaan, and that's exactly what they did. Over in the New Testament, we find that it is said of the Thessalonians that they turned to God from idols. And then there is David, there when God gave him the Davidic covenant. And God says, I took you from the sheepcote to be ruler over Israel. Then I love the story of Hannah. This was a barren woman who became the mother of Samuel. And she said, he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. And then we read in Titus 2:14, he redeemed us from all iniquity. But it wasn't just to go away from that. We find out that the same thing is true with our salvation. We read that by grace are you saved through faith. There is a separation, a double separation there. God not only delivered us from death, but he delivered us to eternal life. And so he redeemed us, redeemed them from all iniquity, but he did it to purify to himself a peculiar people. It's a double separation anywhere we find it in the Scripture. And so here in verse 16, we find exactly that same pattern as Moses is saying, you need to be with us. In other words, we need to be separated unto God where we are. You walk with us and go with us. And then, of course, we must be separated from all the rest of the people of the nations. God did that in a measure back in that day, but I can guarantee you on the authority of the Word of God that this nation is yet to experience the full separation from the nations, and indeed they will be exalted to God and become the head of the nations throughout the millennial period. You will notice here in verse 17 as we continue, God answered Moses. Moses said, how can I know this? Here's God's answer, verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. The thing that thou hast spoken is what he said in verse 16. I will go with you, and I will separate you from the rest of these nations. But this is what I want to notice in the rest of this chapter here. This turns personal. And this is where you and I can take great courage, and we must indeed understand. We have had so many requesting prayer here and out of town, around the different parts of the country. We have been forced to intercede, and that's what it is that's exactly like what Moses had here, intercessory prayer. And God says, I will do this thing. I am going to answer that. But what I want to see is that when you and I are interceding for others, when we have such a deep commitment in praying for others, there is going to be a benefit for ourselves. And notice what it is. He says, I'll do this thing also that you've spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. The separation that you've asked for is because of divine grace. But notice he goes further and he says, I know thee by name. You have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. This tells us that the deep intimacy which you and I can have with God as great intercessors indeed brings us into this same place of intimacy with God. I know you by name. There is a deep interaction between us and God when we enter into intercessory prayer, as we find here. And so you notice that indeed God wants us to intercede. He wants us to take this place, and indeed he wants us to know him by name. Divine grace will separate us to that place. And the only question is, are we going to comply? Are we going to surrender to this same separating grace that God wants to perform in our own lives and experience? One of the first things that we see in this is that this answer that God gave to Moses gave him a greater boldness with the Lord. Notice what he did. Immediately after, God said, I know thee by name. I'll give you all of this that you've asked for. Verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. When we have that confidence, when we have that revelation that he knows me by name, it will also give us a boldness to go to the throne of grace, as we are told to do in the New Testament. And so he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And again in verse 19, we have God's answer. We might once again wonder, how do we attain to that place? If you'll back up to verse 13, we read, therefore I pray thee. So that's what you and I must indeed do. If we want this kind of intimacy, we can indeed pray for it. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And so we have to have that same desire. Do we long to be in this close, intimate place with God? If we do, just ask for it. And God indeed will grant it, exactly as he did with Moses. And so in verse 19 is God's answer to this plea, this answer to this request that, that Moses had for him. And he said, that is, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. We are talking about the glory of God. You and I generally think of the glory of God as we see it in that which is brightness and things of this nature, and that certainly is true. But I want to notice that God describes His glory in a fourfold manner. First of all, He says, I'll make my goodness pass before you. The glory of God is in His goodness. There is no way that we can really fathom all the goodness of God all at one time. It is something that we learn over a process of time, and I trust we are learning it day after day after day, the benefits and the goodness that God would bestow upon us. Next, he says, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. Can we even begin to imagine or enumerate the benefits of the name of the Lord? Go through the scripture sometime and see how many benefits it lists as a result of calling on the name of the Lord. It's inexhaustible, but it tells us, it reflects again the glory of the Lord. Then he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That tells us of the fullness of the grace of God that he wants to pour out in our lives. And again, the depths of divine grace are just, they're just endless. There is no way that we can even begin to fathom all of these wonderful things that God's grace has to offer us. Then he says, for number four, I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Grace and mercy are very closely connected. God shows His mercy directly because of the tremendous characteristic that He has of divine grace. But mercy is especially shown in cases where there has been sin or ungodliness or an evil work or something of this nature. And so here we find out, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Israel needed desperately the mercy of God because they had bowed down to the golden calf and they continued to make many, many other mistakes in their lives. And so mercy in the scriptures especially illustrate the fact that there has been wrongdoing of some kind. But I want to notice that both of them are so important. They are a demonstration of the glory of God even unto us. And so we find out we need all of these things in order to understand His glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That is fulfilled in the next chapter. We're not going through that. We have seen it before. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face literally shone with the glory of God so much that the people were terrified of him and he had to put a veil over his face to even speak to them. What I want to see here is that was the answer also to what God had said, that he would indeed and did tell him of the glory of God. Because God not only showed his glory to Moses, he revealed it through him so that other people could see. This is so important in our lives. Let us go to the third chapter of 2 Corinthians where Paul quotes from this exact same incident. We have seen this many, many times before, and it is a wonderful narrative. It is something that we must indeed claim in our own experience. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Paul reiterates what happened when Moses came down from the mount, as we were reading there in chapter 34, as we referenced in chapter 34. In verse 18, but we all with open face. What he means by that is that We look upon Christ without the veil. The veil is the law, and people who look through the law will never understand the fullness of God's glory. And so Paul says, we all with open face, without the veil of the law, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And then notice this. When we do that, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Keep in mind, Moses went through this wonderful experience, because thou hast found grace in my sight. The same thing is true. We have seen that God wants to separate us unto himself. Go back and look at the story of Moses. Read all of those verses in there, and we find out that God said to Moses, I want you to come up to the top of the mountain alone. You leave all of those other people down at the bottom. You don't even let animals or anything come near that mountain. The same thing is true of us. When you and I get alone with the Lord, when we are separated to the Lord, separated from those things round about us, that means that God can show us the glories that Moses witnessed here. And again, I say, it is not only revealing God's glory to Moses, he revealed it through Moses. Others saw the glory of God. That's exactly what God wants in our lives today. He wants us to reflect the glory of God to those round about us, that indeed we are those who have been separated unto God by the tremendous grace that he has shown unto us. And let us understand here also, I think this is so important. Sometimes God makes changes in our lives that are almost imperceptible. You just don't even realize the change that is taking place. I think God does that for a reason, to keep us from becoming so lifted up and with eyes on ourselves. But if you will notice, that's exactly what it says here. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. This is a process, not all at one time. It's a process that we go through, and the further we go in our lives, we should be reflecting more of the glory of God that other people might see. In closing, I want to notice that Peter follows exactly this same pattern. Let's go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And in verse 10, but the God of all grace, we're going to see that term again in these messages, but all grace means exactly that. Grace is multifaceted. Peter calls it in another place the manifold grace of God. But I was intrigued by this one because he follows the same pattern that we have seen in the message this morning, and it is the pattern of separation. It is all grace, but he zeroes in on the grace of separation here in these verses. Notice verse 10, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory. This is, again, the separation to. Grace has called us to such glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while. Here is where we are going to be separated from. But this little term here, after that you have suffered a while, has great meaning. If you will back up to the first chapter of this same book, we read in verse 6, Well, let's read verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. And we can greatly rejoice in verse 5. We're kept by the power of God. It's through faith unto salvation. It will be revealed in the last time. And so we greatly rejoice in that. But Peter is a very honest man. He's not going to give us any false claims or lead us in a wrong direction. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. You and I are in that season right now. I've heard so many people around the country going through so many difficulties and things in their lives. Evidently, God has seen that the need is there. And so this season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or manifold tests. This is what God will take us through and then lead us even out from. But notice that there is a purpose for doing this. God doesn't do anything without a reason or just for the sake of doing it. And He does it for verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now go back to the 5th chapter and we'll finish these verses because they are exactly the same pattern, how that God separates us unto Himself, unto His glory, but there is something that we also have to leave. We must be separated from, as Moses said, the peoples round about us. Those things that we had before, the associations we had before, and the things in our lives that governed us and controlled us before. God has to separate us. He has to lead us out, work those things out from us. And so he puts it this way. As we read, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, this is what God again wants to do, make you perfect. It means to complete thoroughly. I'll tell you a little secret. God will perfect us to the degree that we allow Him to do so. He wants to perfect us thoroughly or completely. And so as we read here, make you perfect. Then he wants to establish us. We can well understand that because of the chaos that is in our world today. Everything is just absolutely explosive and up and down and every other which way. God intends for us to be steady and steadfast, even in these tumultuous situations. And that means that our trust and our belief is still in God, that He is the one who will make us solid and secure. And so He wants to establish us. Next is He will strengthen us. We saw in a message last week, when I am weak, then am I strong. This is where we absolutely must learn the strength of the Lord, because we will have none of our own. And so we are strengthened because of this matchless grace that we're talking about here. And then that He will settle you. And that again means that we must be solid. It signifies a firm foundation. That firm foundation is based only on the Word of God. And that is what gives us such security and stability in our world today. And then verse 11, this is where that divine grace always leads. Divine grace always gives glory back to God. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And so we find out that God indeed wants to bring us to that place where we too find grace in the sight of the Lord. And indeed, we too experience all of these wonderful characteristics that we have seen in being separated unto the Lord Himself. It is only through the God of all grace that such separation will come in our own life.